Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Are y'all awake this morning? One person's awake. You know, we serve coffee. We serve coffee out there. But hey, I'm Pastor Will, and it is a pleasure to be with you. I have not been up here in a long time. And I've had a lot of coffee this morning. So I don't know how close I'm going to stay here. I may be running all over the place. But hey, I want to start off with prayer. I want to pray. Can we just bow our heads for a second? God, we just open up to you today. God, I pray that you would speak through me. Use me in spite of myself. God, I pray that we would have ears to hear today. God, break into our schedules. Break into this time that we have right now. And God, speak to our hearts today. God, we honor you, we praise you, and we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen. Yeah, hey, I want to welcome all of the folks that are watching online today. We love you. Can we give a big old hand for the folks that are watching online? Yes. And y'all, when I was preparing for this sermon, I had a little iPad, and I kept trying to make the font bigger so that I could see it. And y'all, at about 18-point font, I had about 48 notes, 48 pages. And so, y'all, I found this. Y'all, I am preaching from a 32-inch TV screen today. And y'all, I found out that at 43, the warranty runs out on your knees and your eyes. So if you're not 43, just get ready. Just wait. So we've been in the middle of the sermon series called Rooted. This has been a fantastic sermon series. Anybody getting anything out of this sermon series? Yes. So good. So good. It has been digging us up. God has been speaking to us, and we have been talking about spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline and spiritual growth. And when I think of the word discipline, I go all the way back to sixth grade. I went to Buda Elementary. And y'all, when I was in sixth grade, I was not the best student. I didn't listen. I literally was the class clown. And I remember the teacher was telling me to settle down. I was having fun. Me and this one kid kept playing jokes on each other. And this boy goes to sit down, and I pull the chair out from underneath him. And it was so funny. When he fell on his back. The whole class was cracking up. And I was like, ha ha! That was so funny. And then I remember, I walked to the principal's office, and everybody was looking at me like I was walking to death row. I'm like, what, you know, what's going on here? This is just, I'm just going to go, they're just going to go and talk to me. When I came into the office, the principal had what was called the enforcer. It was a paddle. I didn't know they did that in schools. I was young. Anybody remember when they actually would paddle you in school? Is there anybody old enough? You folks are old. Y'all, but I came into the room, and it got really quiet. And I was like, what are you going to do with that? He let me know what he did with that. This thing, it didn't look like a paddle. It looked like something you used to go down a river, like a canoe paddle. It had holes in it, and I kid you not, it had paint that said, "The Enforcer." I really was a model student, at least in that class, for the rest of that year. But growing up, I always got in trouble for not listening. Still to this day, I have problems listening. I get in trouble with my beautiful wife because sometimes the first thing she says to me is, "Are you even listening to me?" And I'm like, "Wait a minute, what was I just heard you say that. Are you even listening to me?" And there are frequencies, there are things or words, there are things that I tend to tune out, and I don't know why I do this. But there's one word that I don't hear it anymore. It doesn't resonate with me anymore, and it's dad. I have four kids, and they over and over and over say, "Dad, dad, 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 dad." And sometimes Tabitha goes, Will, do you not hear your son talking to you? He's like, I had no idea. I tuned it out. I got four kids. I knew I was in massive trouble growing up when my mother would use all five of my names. I have five names. And when she would rattle off every one of those names, Willard, Lucas, Guy, Carl, Krause, I knew by the time that she rattled off the last name, I had my hand behind me just to catch whatever was coming. Because when she said all five names, I knew that I was in major trouble. I knew I was in even worse trouble when she started calling me all of my other eight brothers and sisters' names before she got to my five names. By the time she got to my five names, that was it. I was in major trouble. But we tend to get in trouble when we're not listening, when we're not tuning in. And I could ask a question in here today from spouses. How many of you in here today would say that your spouse or the other significant people in your life sometimes have listening problems? Nobody. One person, you are a brave soul. She's sitting right next to you. Are you saying you have a listening problem or she? Okay, well, let's not do that. We don't have time for that. But how well do we listen? And I'm not just talking about hearing, but how well do we communicate? I wrote down the definition for listen: to hear, to pay attention, to be attentive, to be present, to concentrate on, to hang on someone's words, to tune in. And today I want to talk about listening to God's voice. And I've got a couple scriptures I want to share with you. Mark 4 and 9. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Luke 8 and 8, Jesus called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Matthew 11 and 15, again, he says, "He who has ears, let him hear." And y'all, I'm not talking about actually hearing a verbal voice of God. I've personally never heard a verbal voice from God. There are many, many times in my life where I wish that there would have been this booming voice that would say, "Will, stop playing with matches. You're going to burn your backyard down. Not only your backyard, but your neighbor's backyard and the other neighbor's backyard." This really happened. I shrink wrapped all of my neighbor's wood. He had tarps on his wood. He had a bunch of wood piles, and I shrink wrapped them all. I lit the entire neighborhood on fire. I wish I would have had God's voice booming in my ear, "Don't play with fire." I wish that God's voice would have said, "Will, don't date anybody but your wife, your future wife, Tabitha. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Don't date anybody else. I've got the perfect person for you." That would have been perfect. Do you wish, is there anything in your life that you can think of right now where if you heard a booming voice from God, it would have saved you from a very, very poor decision? I wish God would have told me to not borrow against my 401k to invest in the stock market. Amen. You've done that. Don't do that. Dave Ramsey would be very upset with you right now. But I've never heard God's voice. I've never heard the audible God, the voice of God. But I can tell you on so many, many occasions that God has spoken to me. God has spoken to me so many times through his word. The Bible says that the word of God is sharp, it's quick, it's able to go to the dividing of the soul and the spirit. It goes straight to the heart of the matter. I've had God's word speak right into a situation that I was dealing with. I've had God's word be exactly on what was going on in my life, and I pulled it open and I read and I'm like, this is exactly what I'm dealing with. Have you ever had that? Have you ever opened the word of God or God's, the Bible, and it just speak directly to you? God speaks through his word, through a sermon. How many times have you heard a pastor speak? I can't tell you how many times that I've heard Pastor Robin speak, and I look over at my wife, and I said, did you tell him? Because he's talking exactly like what I've been dealing with. Did you tell him? Have you ever had that? It's like you're looking around when he's preaching, and you're like, wait a minute. How did he know about that? That's God speaking through. It's God speaking through him. That's the voice of God. That's God speaking to us. God can speak to us through his creation. Yesterday, we went to a place called Crowsey Springs in Spicewood, Texas. It's absolutely probably one of the most beautiful places in Texas. There's waterfalls. There's springs that are coming out of the ground. It's absolutely gorgeous, and it's called Crowsey Springs. My last name is Krause. And so when we went in and we talked to the people that were selling tickets to get in. I said, hey, our last name is Krause. Can we get in for free? And he didn't care. He's like, it's $8 a kid. And I had like, I got 32 children with me, you know. My last name is Krause. But we went, and in the middle of this, I'm looking at these waterfalls, and I'm looking at this beautiful scenery, and there's people everywhere. And in the middle of that, I look up, and I see these trees that are just massive. And I see the glory of God in his creation, in his beauty. I'm looking at these waterfalls, and I'm realizing God created that waterfall. Not only did God create the waterfall, he created the water that came gushing out of the ground to create that waterfall. And so God speaks to us through his creation. God speaks to us through other believers. Have you ever had somebody speaking into your life? And they're literally saying everything that you needed to hear. That's God speaking to us. God speaks to us in so many different ways. There are so many times there, I just feel so tuned in. I feel like I'm linked up with God. You know when you've got like all five bars on your cell phone, it's like, man, yes. Or when you got Wi-Fi, you know, man, this is a fast connection. I feel sometimes that connection, I'm just tuned in. Sometimes there's things, I don't know if God does this to you, but there's times in my life where God speaks to me. And I'll go throughout my day, and there's sometimes I'll get frustrated, and I'll say something to somebody that I probably shouldn't have. I'm a pastor, but I get frustrated, and sometimes I'll just treat somebody in a way that they shouldn't be treated. And I'll go about my day, and the next day God wakes me up, and I feel this heaviness on my heart, and I replay the entire conversation. And I remember what I said, and I feel this prick in my heart, and it's God talking to me. It's God telling me, hey, that person that you treated that way, that's my son. That's my daughter. That's my creation. And it's God just showing me, listen, he's saying, listen to me. I'm talking to you, Will. And then what I normally have to do is I'll get on the phone, or I'll call, or I've gone in a couple times to people's offices and just said, hey, do you have a second? The way I talked to you yesterday wasn't okay, and I'm sorry. And I've done that a number of times. God has spoken to me in that way. There was one time where me and a friend of mine, this was early on in my walk with God, but there was this one time where we were going to pray. We were going to walk these streets and pray for people. We were going to knock on doors, and I was terrified. I was literally terrified of going and knocking on somebody's door and telling them about Jesus. So I was praying. We were in the car. I was praying. I was driving, and I was like, God, help me, because I'm terrified. And I remember, like, just, I was just talking to God, and there was a guy next to me, and all of a sudden, I felt like God said, just turn, get over in the other lane. And so I immediately got over the other lane. Out of nowhere, this kid on a skateboard comes over these bushes, lands straight in the middle of the road. His skateboard, you know, flies out. He's laying in the middle of the road right where I would have been, you know, a second later. And I was like, that was God. And we both looked at each other like, wow, God is in this. So we knocked on doors that day and felt like God was with us and God was speaking through us. There's times in my life where I feel like I'm open and I'm listening to the voice of God. That's when life changes. That's when we hear God, roots begin to grow when we listen to him. He says again, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. But I want to be honest and transparent. I wish I could end the sermon right now and say, man, Will hears God. That's awesome. That was a great sermon, Will. Awesome. That man, woohoo, good for you, Will. I wish I could just end it right here. But there's so many times in my life that I don't hear God. I don't hear him. And sometimes the very last voice that I hear is God's voice. And I think it's safe to say that everyone here wants to hear the voice of God. You're here on a Sunday morning at the 10 o'clock service. It is 4th of July weekend. You could be out at the lake. You could be anywhere else. But you are here today because I think you want to hear the voice of God. Amen? Amen. There's one person that's happy to be. And I think it is safe to say that. But let me just kind of point something out. About 100% of the time when we don't hear God's voice, it's more than likely not God. It's us. It's us. The thing about God isn't fickle. God doesn't go, well, Will said that bad word yesterday, so I'm not talking to him for 3 or 4 days. God's not the kind of person that holds grudges like we hold grudges. When somebody offends you, how long does it take you to forgive them? You know, 20 minutes, 50 minutes, 10 years, 50 years, a generation? God's not that way. God doesn't change. The thing about God, which is amazing, is God doesn't change. Guess who changes? We change. God stays the same, but we change. And it's the thing about God as well is God doesn't get busy like we get busy. We think that, oh, man, you know, I'm busy. I get distracted. I'm not talking. You know, I'm not, my walk with God isn't where it needs to be. But God's not busy. God never gets so busy. He's like, hold on, Will, wait a minute. I'm creating some volcanic, you know, islands over here in Hawaii. I've got all this going on here. He's not stopping and saying, man, I'm just too busy to hear you. He never does. God is never too busy to hear you. But we get too busy to hear God. I want to talk about a few things today that usually are things in my own life. And actually, I'm preaching this sermon today because this is what God's saying to me. God is speaking to me, and these are things that he says, Will, these are the things in your life sometimes that get in the way, that create distraction, that create ways where you're distracted, you're not listening to me. These things that are in your life sometimes create a transmission break where you're not tuned in. And number one is pride. Does anyone ever deal with pride in the room? Has anyone never dealt with pride? If you're out there, raise your hand. You've never dealt with pride. That's what I tricked you. You raised your hand. I was about to say, please stand up, come down to the front. You've never dealt with pride. We want to touch you. If you've never dealt with pride, we want to touch you because this sermon isn't for you. But if you've ever dealt with pride, pride gets in the way. And let me explain. There is a, whoever, does anybody use the navigation app called Waze? Does anybody use Waze? Waze is this really, really cool app on your phone that when you're in traffic, and normally I only pull out Waze when I'm on I-35. I-35 to me is probably in every single sermon I've ever preached. I-35 is God's way of showing me areas in my life that I need to work on. I have so many sermons and so many things that come out of from I-35 because I've spent so much time on I-35. I really, truly, honestly believe that if you kept going down 35, you would end up in Hades. And if you keep going all the way up, if you ever could get all the way up, it goes to Hades. And so I'm here, I'm stuck on 35, and I pull out Waze, and literally it's bumper-to-bumper traffic. I pull it up, and it's like, all right, I need to get to work, and there's all of these cars in front of me, and they don't realize that I need to be somewhere by 9 o'clock, and for whatever reason, all of these dumb people are on 35 today. They're all on 35, and I need to get somewhere. And so I pull up Waze, and I'm like, Waze, help me out here. Show me a way around this. And so all of a sudden, Waze says, take a right up here. And I get off the road, and there's one guy in front of me, and it's like, that guy's on Waze too. That guy's on Waze. So we start heading off, like, all these weird roads I've never been on before in my life, and we're like, yes! And we're leaving all of those dumb people stuck on 35. You know that song by Tom Petty, I'm Free? I started singing that. I'm free! That did not sound like Tom Petty. But I felt like we were free, and we were flying. I mean, we were going down the road, and we were flying. I was like, I don't know where we're going, but this is awesome. Waze is taking us around all of those people. I'm going to get to work on time. It shows that I'm going to arrive there on time, and I'm following this guy in front of me. And we were going for about 30 minutes, and all of a sudden I see him stop. And he turns around, and Waze says to me, stop and turn around and go the way you came. I'm like, what? So I'm turning around, and about 30 minutes later, I end up right where I turned off on the road. And literally, I kid you not, it looks like the same car I was behind. I pull right up in there, and I'm like, oh my goodness. I was so angry. I wanted to throw my phone. It just wasn't a very spiritual moment. It wasn't very spiritual. But that's what pride does to us. Pride takes us down roads that we shouldn't go on. Pride makes us think that we've got something figured out above everybody else. We don't need directions from anybody else. Pride will take us down a road we will end up having to turn around and completely go back the way we came. We get lost when we don't hear the voice of God. We go our own ways. And pride keeps you from being open to what God is saying. Pride justifies itself. Pride is so sneaky, it'll tell you, well, you didn't grow up, you didn't have anything when you were growing up, so it's okay now. Or you begin to justify things in your life because you're elevating things above God. And what happens when we elevate anything in our life above God, it creates an idol. And we're putting more thought and more of our time and more of everything else into that. And essentially, it's elevating ourselves above God. That's what pride is. And when you are elevated, when you are above the ground, when you are above where people can talk to you or where you feel like you don't need directions from anybody, that's pride. Have you ever had somebody tell you something and you kind of like, kind of stiffen up? And they're like, who are you to tell me anything? You're telling me what? You're stiffening up? You're like, you kind of flex when you stiff up. I'm trying to flex my muscles. Pastor Robin could flex. You know, he's got guns. But when you have pride in your life, when somebody tries to tell you something, you flex. You're like, you're not telling me anything. I know better than you. And sometimes we do that with God. And pride keeps us from hearing the voice of God. So how do you fight pride? You pray a prayer like David did in Psalms. Psalms 139 and 23, David said this to God. He says, "Search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart." What he was telling God is, God, I want you to look at what's going on in here right now. I want you to examine me. God, I want to open up and I want you to just scan me. Tell me what's going on in my life. He said, "Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." When we open up to God, he'll show us some things that we need to work on. He'll show us things in our heart that we didn't even know were there. And can I get super real for just a moment? Actually, 8 minutes and 30 seconds. We're going to step on some toes real quick. Number two, and again, this is God speaking to me. Number two is fear. There's sometimes we don't want to hear the voice of God because we're afraid that we would need to change. There's sometimes we don't want to hear the voice of God because it will confront some things in our life. It'll confront some things in our heart. What if God asked me to forgive that person? What if God asked me to confront the things in my life that I think I have control over, but really those things have control over me? What if I actually heard the voice of God and he tells me to do something that I don't want to do? Remember how I said that God's word is sharp, it's quick, it goes to the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And I want to talk about that. God's word isn't sharp because it wants to cut you. God's word is sharp because it's like a scalpel in the hands of a surgeon. He wants to go into your life when you allow him to cut out parts of your heart that are rotten, that are bitter. There's areas of our heart that we say, God, oh yes, God, here I am. I'm at church. I'm listening to songs. I'm praying. And then there's that one thing that sometimes we hold on to and say, okay, wait a minute, God, we're not going to deal with this today. And we close God off. And here's the thing about God. God is a gentleman. God's not a brute. We sing that song, God, you're going to kick down walls and run after me. Yes, that's true. But God is a gentleman. He won't barge his way into your heart. You've got to give him access. There's areas where God's not just going to break in unless you say, God, I need you to examine me. Try me. God, is there anything, scan me. God, is there anything in my heart right now that you want to cut out of my life? And so sometimes we don't hear the voice of God because we're afraid to confront that thing. And it's fear. And I want to share a scripture with you about fear. 1 John 4 and 18 says, perfect love casts out fear. And I'm talking right now about the perfect love of Jesus. There's no love like Jesus. Again, it's not a fickle love. It's not a love that goes away and comes back. It's not strong sometimes and weak sometimes. It's the same. It stays the same. God doesn't change the station from which he broadcasts from. But what we do is we tune out of that station. God does not change, and his love does not change. And God is bigger than anything in your life that you are afraid to confront. God is bigger than anything in my life, anything that has ever happened to me. His love is so perfect that if I let that love in, it'll change everything. Last is sometimes life is just too noisy. Sometimes there's just too much noise in our life. And I'm not talking about audible noise. I'm talking about every second of every day, there is something going on, something that we're connected to. Sometimes we've got a small 5-inch screen that is in our face that is yours is This is my screen. But there's noise. There's so much noise, and we have what's called FOMO. Has anybody ever heard what FOMO is? Fear of missing out. So we're in everybody else's lives. We're looking at every vacation they go on Facebook, on Instagram. We're looking at everything else that we don't have. We're connecting in. We're listening to so many different voices. We want to hear what's happening here. We're completely saturated that we tune in to just about every other voice than the one voice that we should be tuning into the most. The voice of God. And here's the thing. The enemy of our soul doesn't have to get you wrapped up in some great sin to destroy you. He doesn't have to like, oh my goodness, I've got this giant addiction that I need to get over here on this person or here. So they'll be moved away from God. They won't hear from God. Really all he has to do is make your life so busy. And that fill up every second of every day of every moment of your life with every other voice than the voice of God. I'm a computer nerd, and I'm a network guy. There's a thing that's called a denial of service. A denial of service attack is how they bring down giant websites. Like North Korea will attack the White House website or things like that. And what they do is they send so much information that this website can't respond. It can't even function. And that's what happens in our lives, is sometimes there's so much noise, there's so much interference, there's so much going on that we don't stop and listen to the one voice that matters the most, God's voice. So what Jesus was saying when he kept saying over and over again, he who has ears, let him hear. What he was saying was, hey, listen to me. Hey, I'm trying to get your attention. Hey, stop and listen to me. And that's what he was saying is, I have something to say to you. I've got something that I've been trying to tell you, but you haven't been listening. You know what's funny is we know within just a matter of seconds when the internet connection goes down. If the internet goes out at my house, within 2 seconds I hear, Dad, there's something wrong with the internet. And it's kind of like I'm a nerd. I'm like, you really think that something's wrong with all of the internet, like the entire internet just broke. But we know within a half a second when we can't connect, when we can't get online, when we can't see everything else that's going on, we lose that connection, and we're like, ah, what do? I don't have a connection. But wouldn't it be amazing when the moment that we feel like we don't have that connection with God, we would say, wait, something's wrong with my connection. God, I'm not hearing you. God, I don't hear your voice. What's going on? What's happening in my life that I'm not hearing you, God? Can I be real for a second? God, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you again. I want all of the noise. God, if there's any pride in my life, God, show it to me, because I don't want anything in my heart that is elevating itself over you. And God, if there's anything that I'm fearful of, if there's anything I'm afraid to confront, remind me of your power. Remind me of your great mercy, of your perfect love. It's so perfect that fear doesn't even have a place when we let that perfect love come in. Matthew 6:6 says this, when you pray, go to your room and close the door. Pray privately to your Father who is with you. Your Father sees what you do in private, and he will reward you. You see, prayer finds the frequency of God's heart. when we say, God, I want to shut the whole world out, because this is the time that I need with you. Because I know, God, that one moment with you can change everything in my life. One moment with you, the entire catalog of my heart is revealed in just one moment with you. God, I want to shut the door. I want to shut out the world for just a moment, just so that I can hear your voice. Would you stand with me this morning? God is saying to everyone in this room, I'm talking to you. Open up your heart to me again. He's asking for that one part of your heart that you're afraid to let go of. Because when you do, you'll be rooted. When you let God down into the depths of your soul, God's going to take the rocks out. It's weed killer. He's going to make it where your roots can grow deeper than they ever have. We want to be rooted. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, God, we open up our ears to you. God, we want to hear you over the noise, over our fear, God, over our constant temptation to elevate ourselves, to package ourselves, to sell who we are. God, help us to broadcast you. God, I pray that we would tune in. God, that we find that frequency. The thing that you've been broadcasting on the entire time, that we come back and we tune in and we listen and we hear. And God, you change us from the inside out. God, we honor you with our ears today, our spiritual ears. We're listening. And God, we give you all of the honor, all of the glory, and all of the credit, because it all belongs to you anyways. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Can we give God some praise in the house today? Thank you, Jesus. I want to challenge you this week as you go about your days that you carve out time for God, that you listen, that you shut everything down, that you find a prayer closet, and you get into the presence of God. It will change everything. We also want to help you get connected. And one of the ways that one of the vehicles we use to help you get connected, to hear the voice of God, is the little prayer card right in front of you, in the seat back in front of you. If you'll fill out that card, we're going to help you get connected to other believers. We'll help you get connected into a small group. We'll help you if you want to talk to a pastor or anyone. We want you to hear the voice of God. And so in just a moment, if you'll fill out that card, if you'll drop it off on your way out, and we want to give you one more way to get connected, to hear the voice of God. Show up here on First Wednesday. Show up for revival. If you want to hear the voice of God, show up. Be here with ears to ear. In Jesus' name we pray. Go in the mighty name of Jesus. We will see you Wednesday night. God bless you. We love you.